we've spent a lot of time talking about gain is godliness and the subtleties of that, how it affects how it affects everyone. And until you see that what the results of any action taken are not your business, then you will always be deceived by thinking that gain is godliness, or the next moment of your life, or the next moment of anything that you're setting your hand to do is not your business. And that's an incredible...
What was that last thing? Not your business?
The results are never your business.
Results, yeah.
The idea that I'm sorry, I hurt so bad. Anyway, the opposite of in many ways, the opposite of this thing is that gain is godliness, is shown in this. Let's go. I'll stop talking about this. The whole of chapter 6 of 1 Timothy has as the presupposition that once people began to be believers, then if they were servants, or they work for somebody, then they believed in some perverse way that they then had the right to correct them. They had the right to... In other words, they didn't have to pay the non-believer any honor, any respect. And so, and it says, with that in mind, let as many servants... Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine not be blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. And so the idea that now the opposite of that starts is the whole teaching. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, where cometh envy, strife, railing, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. Now, godliness is this weird word. It's a word that comes from the word theo and the word that you joke, you however you say, you... Oh, man. I'm out of it. The word that means good. Anybody remember what that is? EU,
yeah.
Something. Anyway, godliness, according to one ancient commentator, said this. So there's no true religion without it. And it's thought, the thought, character, and content brought about by the fear of God, which results in the love of God. And so, the opposite of godliness is in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's look at that in a minute, and then I think we'll get an understanding of it, hopefully. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power or the efficacy thereof, from such turn away. If I don't believe in the power of God, then my position before God will be that I must accomplish by my own strength the thing that my hand touches. And that is, this is critical, and I'm not sure I'm in the way, in a mindset to be able, I mean, in a place where I can explain it, but the opposite of godliness is having a form of godliness, but denying His ability to work in you. Now, if I deny His ability to work in you, then I'm just going to be like every other Gentile who judges my life by results. And as I've said so often, if you were in Russia, you'd be a good communist. If you were in Saudi Arabia, you'd be a good Muslim, because your personality demanded that you join something. But it has nothing to do with Christ. Because, remember, Christ is His own dynamic, His own power. And that is revealed when you are out of the way. So godliness is the certainty that no matter what situation I'm in, it's exactly as it should be, and the results of whatever situation I'm in are the business of God alone. Ungodliness is thinking that I have to take action, I have to do stuff, I have to solve problems, I have to fix it. Now, unfortunately, when we get down to this level of godliness and ungodliness, it should convict several of you.
There's a lot of ungodliness.
And it's got to stop. Now, remember that. Let's go. Where does it talk about all? Every other word is God, ungodly. It may be Jude, but that's not what I'm thinking about. Well, does anybody want to talk about what I just said, or does anybody not understand it?
Well, I have an example of it. I've come to feel that it's time for a move, but when I focus on it as an end result, you know, like it must happen, that's when my mind goes into, well, how can we make it happen? And I really constantly think about it. But if I don't get, you know, invested and married to the result, if that has to happen, then it's a matter of faith.
But all
this is a matter of
faith. So all it is that what we're talking about is in every place of this, is that it has to force repentance to go deeper. And the other word that's used a lot is sober. Well, sober is just somebody that is doing the godliness thing. I mean, that means they're sane according to God. Unsane, insane, according to God, beside yourself is what it says in the scripture, is it when you're, you know, consumed with self.
The thing that got me about, I just got a picture of, you know, when it says, a form of godliness is just the way we all are normally. We have our own idolatry or whatever the thing is. You know, we have some kind of thing we do, which always includes, you know, us having to make things happen to, in order to prop up our form.
Right. And, I mean, things have to go your way. Sudden things can't happen to you because that reveals the true character. You have to keep most of what's going on within you hidden, because, you know, that just you can't afford to tell anybody what's going on, because, and so it's this literally, when that takes place, God gives you up to your own images, your own imaginations, your own activities. And I think this is what happens in these large religious organizations that we study or investigate, because there is so much pressure on them to be what is godly in their mind that they become ungodly, and they've been given up to their own lusts, and so all of a sudden they just, whatever they want, they get, and then somehow they rationalize it, and pretty soon it just becomes a snake pit. But it's because there is this tendency to act. They've got to put on a face. They've got to become something they're not. And I mean, that's why this acting crap is so incredibly evil. They're trying to do it right. If you could see from God's perspective how evil that is, you'd never again. You'd want to gladly commend yourself openly to every man's conscience in the sight of God. You would never again be concerned with someone's response to you. But therefore, because you know the fear of God, and that produces godliness. The opposite, again, is ungodliness, which is having a form of God, but denying our form of faith or form of anything, but in effect denying God's ability or power to affect His results. And the fates will always conspire against you. That's the nature of the beast. I mean, that's why the real meaning of being blessed, both in Hebrew, which is Barak, I think, and then in Greek, it's Makarios. Both of the meanings, the core meaning of the word is you're not subject to the fates. Now, everybody else, whether you think about it or not, believe either that you're being punished or that, you know, somebody's got, when it goes wrong, somebody's got something against you, or, you know, Kevin and I were talking yesterday, you know, oh my God, I wished I had what they had. Well, all of those issues are coming from this place of ungodliness, which is basically unbelief. You have a form of godliness. You go to Bible study. You go to church. Wear the label, but you deny His power because you don't know that Jesus Christ is in you. Therefore, if you don't know that, you're incapable of repentance. So instead of repentance, the only other response other than repentance is acting. And quiet. Silence. Acting in silence. Now this should convict a few of you. Having a form of godliness, but denying His power.
In one of the crossfire spots that you wrote, there's a phrase, something about you. You toy with me as you would a puppet or something like that. About how we try to make God dance to our song. And that's what this reminds me of. It reminds me of somebody standing outside the dragon's cave, jumping up and down and making believe that they're in control of the dragon. Or Aaron's sons offering strange fire. It's like trying to manipulate God and not being aware that at any moment He should devour you.
Right. Well, the thing that I want you to take away from this is that the meaning of godliness is not acting piously and putting on a certain face. The meaning of godliness is that every thought, every aspect of your character, and every aspect of your conduct is rooted in the fear of God. To be sober, that's the only definition of being sober or sane in the Scriptures. Everything else, whether you're a, you know, whether you're bipolar or tripolar or manic depressive or psychotic or neurotic or whatever it is, all of those, they're all in the same. The things that we call craziness, they're just all in the same arena of self-seeking. They're just all one big lump over there of ungodliness. Now, well, let's go back to 1 Timothy. I didn't finish my thought when I was there. It's very difficult for me to finish a sentence right now, so forgive me if I'm not making any sense. Perverse disputings of, verse 5 again. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such turn away. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, why don't you share with us what you're reading, Gary?
I was reading what you just read. Great gain. So.
You sure you weren't reading ahead?
Oh, heaven first to get to know.
Sorry.
Remember, the purpose of gathering Bible study is that everybody would be in the same place at the same time. Not physically, but mentally, spiritually, so that we would be of one mind and of one heart and of one soul. As opposed to ignoring what somebody is saying and then in your mind, just go ahead and think whatever it wants. Maybe thinking beautiful thoughts. Maybe just wondering what that meant. But the point of it is privatizing it. So you're robbing the community and you're robbing God. And so there's no spontaneity, there's no prophesying, because you have to make sure you've got everything in the right order before you say it, so that you look right. Is that? And pretty soon you start feeling compelled to say something because, you know, I talk like this, and then you should sit around and make shit up.
I usually write it down ahead of time.
It's like preachers writing down what they're going to say. How could that happen? The greatest plagiarism in the world right now is among preachers. They just and televangelists. That's how come we got all this heresy, because a guy says something and he gets a lot of people sending him money, so now everybody else says it. And it's just a lie. And they just steal from each other. But what I don't want from you, I don't want you to steal from anybody. I don't want you to use my words. I want you to have the fullness of what your office is in the body of Christ manifested. And the only way that can happen is for you to always prophesy. Always. Not try to think up something to say. Not trying to get it right. If I ever thought about getting right, I'd close this Bible and never teach again. That's what I did for 12 years, is, you know, trying to find all the loopholes, trying to. Anyhow. Anybody have any response?
Not to that, but I have something that while you're talking this morning, what I'm experiencing is the delineation between the universes. The universe of religious man, which man doesn't think he's religious, he thinks he's being godly. And then the man who empties himself and is in total faith and trusting in God, not knowing what the hell's going to happen. And it's like those universes are so far apart that they aren't even related to each other.
Amen. That's what Jesus said. I mean,
and yet they use the exact same words. That's the weirdest thing. Same book, same word, same
preaching everything, but it's two different, completely different understandings.
It's two different worlds, as you said. It's two, the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of light.
And that's not, it's amazing that God has created it that way to hide himself.
That's why I'm thinking, that's what he said so clearly. If you're a follower of him, they'll kill you and think they're doing God the highest service. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. The point of it is that we love darkness, or our twilight.
Yeah, but that darkness that we love is, we call light.
That's, yeah,
the,
that's why.
Again, the weird thing.
And it's you know, what's sad is when I see it here. I mean, I expect it out there, but when I see it in here, it just makes me crazy. Because you don't have any reason to hide anymore. You don't have any reason to not prophesy. You don't have any reason to be afraid of what somebody's going to think of your audio. Piece of crap if you're here. This is the worst place you can be except in hell. So when you come here and hear these things and then still act like a Gentile, that's a form of godliness, but deny his power. Now the next verse is interesting when it, when we were studying, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world and are certain that we can carry nothing out. Now what the hell does that have to do with godliness with contentment is great gain? It doesn't make any, you know, this is one of those things when you read it, if you're looking at it honestly, it's thought over here in this universe, and then all of a sudden you get a thought and a sentence that's way over here in this universe. But if you consider it carefully, you'll see that it is the fundamental reason that godliness is contentment. Because we know that we have nothing, are nothing, can take nothing out. And that produces the fear of God. That produces repentance. And that produces contentment, no matter what state you find yourself.
Well, it forces your mind back to that point of when a little baby is born, it can't do anything, it can't really take any action, and then it forces your mind to the point to remember that Jesus was in that same spot,
yeah,
and remained there, you know, basically, you know, to say, I'm not going to do that. It's like recognizing that's our state always, and all the other stuff that we think we are is, you know, just our,
well, the word story. The concept of contentment means I'm not battling against my circumstances. I'm not trying to make it better, either in my mind or with my hands.
Yeah. And that's the next thing. It says in verse 9, in verse 8, and having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. I mean, there's nothing else we need. But they that will be rich, and the will there means will to be. It doesn't necessarily mean money, just like gain doesn't mean gaining, having more money. It's rich or more. Simply, it means more than what you have. More than your condition is at the present. They that will to be, to change their circumstances, to get more of anything, to have anything change, fall into testing for themselves in a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is just a word that means greed. For greed is the root of all evil. Greed doesn't just mean money. Greed means wanting to change the circumstances you're in. So you thought your mind has deceived you. It's put some little silver thing out here that says, where I am is not sufficient, so therefore I cannot be content. It's the same. Satan is the same. He never changes. It's what he did to Eve and Adam in the garden. It's what he tried to do to Christ. And as long as you're paying attention to yourself, then you have to fall into it. And every... The reason, I mean, we think of Satan as somebody with horns and tail, all it is a human mind. That's why the end result of all humans, no matter how successful or happy or celebrity, much celebrity they may have, is the same. You know,
This little piece right here, this love of money, what it does is it takes you out of the moment of being able to hear in the moment at all moments.
Amen. So you can't obey. You can't be in obedience, because obedience means, in English we think obedience means I'm going to do what that person says to do.
Yeah.
In spirit, obedience, both Hebrew and Greek, obedience means to hear under. To know His perfection under whatever circumstance you're in, without greed, without wanting your circumstances to change, no matter what the little dangly thing. You know, I've had 5 different offers in the last few years from network television. They don't want me to come to work for them as a producer. I don't have to leave here. All I'd do is that periodically that they would, you know, they would assign a story to me, and I would, it sounds great, you know. God, first of all, the thing that sounds great is I'd be able to select what we put effort into from the standpoint of what we as their investigative activities or what we wanted to concentrate on. But it's just another little silver thing. Just like when I first became a believer, people convinced me that now that I'm a believer, I should really run for governor. Now I could really do the Lord's work by being governor. Well, for about 2.5 seconds, that was attractive to me because that was my life before. I mean, it's just down to the slightest thing about you want this should change or you want that person to change. The only reason you want that other person to change is so you won't have to suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. According to Paul, if you believe it, the only reason I ever want anyone else, and believe me, I've wanted all of you to change. But if I do, then I am saying to the Father that I don't want to suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. That's why unless you work for me, and I have never told anybody what to do. It's so tempting. Because I'm sure I'd be a good God. Ha ha. But the point of this is that I want you to see it, going back to the meaning of these words, and there'll be this whole thing about contentment and godliness and gain. It'll revolutionize how you think about life, if you can see this. The love of money, or greed, is the root of all evil. Wanting more than you have is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. That's what's opposite of godliness. Godliness, it's not, and where it says, then godliness with contentment is great gain, there is no godliness without contentment. The fruit of godliness is contentment. And no matter what circumstance you're in. Now, if you can't hear this, if you still have to lust after something, then you've got to go do it. Or else God to show you the stupidity of what you think you want to do. So you come to the place that Job did. Throw me into the pits of hell and I'll love you anyway. And their love is the... If He is the only one you're giving breath to, not your stupid, vain thoughts. I pray that you heard this. It can cause a transformation, because it's what is the renewing of your mind. Without this, the renewing of your mind is phony. Any response?
Yeah, it seemed like a deeper way of hearing and understanding at the end game.
So.
Struck me was this verse, they that will be rich, and that rich is not
nothing to do with money,
anything, self-esteem.
Yeah, probably, it's probably the same word that Mary's thing that she says when she meets Elizabeth, talks about those who are enriching themselves, which is just takes in everything.
Yeah.
Those on a road to a better me.
Every way and every day I'm becoming a better and better person. God, where did that crap come from? Everybody understand perfectly. All right, take it, big guy.